You have a Father who loves you even more than you know. Now, you think that would be a rather cut and dry, easy to understand, easy to appreciate statement, wouldn't you? That we have a Father who loves you, who loves us. I was at a lectureship not too long ago. As a matter of fact, it was the one in Mechanicsville, Virginia, just this past year. And I heard a man talk about the love of the Father. And he started out of his lesson talking about the need to understand what a father's love is. Before you can talk about how much God loves you, his point was, you need to understand how fathers are supposed to love their children. And I started thinking about that, and that was a point in my preaching, I think, that I always just took for granted, that everybody knows what a father's love should be. And I think especially I took that for granted because I always knew what a father's love should be. I'm not saying my dad was perfect. By all means, he was not perfect. But I always knew how much he loved me and what he would give anything for my happiness, both spiritually and physically. But if you were not fortunate to have a father who loves you as a father should, this might be a point of contention for you. Because to you, perhaps, when I say God loves you like a father, that may mean nothing to you. And so I think it's important, number one, that we understand what the love of a father should be, and then to know what God's love for you is. We're going to do that in three points tonight, and listen very carefully to this last part of the introduction. This is going to be so basic. Probably, matter of fact, most of you know this already. Matter of fact, when I call out some of these verses, you may not even need to turn there. You may be able to quote some of them yourself. But if you will do this, I promise that you will get so much out of this sermon. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Remember these three points and then think about them for about 10 minutes each day this week. And next Saturday night, this lesson will be one of your favorite sermons. Not because I preached it, not because it's something you never knew before, but because you'll have remembered and been reminded and you'll have meditated on the most sublime fact you will ever have the privilege of thinking on, and this is it. You have a Father who loves you so much and would give anything for both your physical and spiritual happiness. Let's look at these three easy points tonight together. Number one, I know God loves me because He told me. I know God loves me because He told me so. God communicated to us, and it's only natural that we communicate with those that we love the most. It should be that the person we talk to the most and communicate with the most, the ones that we are most open with, are those that we love the most, namely our spouse, our children, our parents, those within our family, those within the church family. It's only natural that we communicate with those that we love the most. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Here's the first verse, a passage well known. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God loves me, and I know He loves me because He told me so. He's given me everything I need to know that He loves me. He told me so. And He didn't leave us hanging out to dry, wondering if He does. He gave us His Word so that we could be complete, that we could be a complete person, What more could we ask for than to be complete, to be perfect? That is complete. What more could we ask for? As parents, don't we want to do everything for our children to make them a well-rounded individual, not well-rounded like me, but well-rounded, complete, be able to talk about things, to be able to think intelligently about things, to be able to think logically about things. We want them to be complete spiritually, physically, all of these things. God has given me in His communication everything I need to know that He loves me so much. 1 Peter 1:23, His word abides forever. His communication will always be there for me and you. One of the biggest problems in not only a marriage relationship, but a family relationship, but a working relationship, and you hear this talk about all the time, is a lack of what? Communication. If you would just communicate, boss, tell me what you want me to do. Don't make me guess. Tell me what you want me to do. Honey, if you would just communicate with me. Darling, if you would just communicate with me, tell me what you expect. God's word is always there for me. And because of that, I know that He loves me. We've been singing this song for probably most of us since we were a little child. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know it? For the Bible tells me so. God tells us, and He has never fallen short of continually reminding us that He loves us in His word. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But listen, but these are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in Him, that you may have life because of your knowledge in Jesus Christ. These things are written so that you could know Christ and that you could have life in His name. That's what God did for you. Now you think about that this week. He loved me, and He told me how and why He loves me. Number two, God loves me because of what He created for me. God loves me because of what He created for me. So I'm going to try and make this personal. I could be saying us each time, but I'm thinking about it for myself, and hopefully you will this week. God loves me because of what He created for me. Genesis 1:1, the Bible starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Get your Bible and look with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. We're going to start reading verse 6. And then we're going to go on another passage, hopefully to show us the impact of this. Psalm 33, start with verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Go back up to verse 8. Let all the earth fear, have reverence, deep reverence for the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world, listen to it, stand in awe of Him. Why? Because He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I could stand here for a million years, if I were able, and say, let there be an elephant. And at the end of a million years, there would no more be an elephant here unless somebody brought one in. There would no more be an elephant here than there is right now. Why? Because we don't have that power. And so let all of us stand in awe of His creative power. He did all of these things. Now just think about that this week. God said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. Then He divided it from the darkness. Just think about that. How do you divide light from darkness? You can make darkness disappear, but then divide it. That's what He did. The firmament, the sea, the land, the vegetation, the animals, all of these things, God just said it and it happened. Now, that's awesome. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. But you know what is even more wonderful to me? Is why he did it. Let's go to the book of Genesis now. Look at chapter 1. God had made everything that he had made. We come to the latter part of day 6. And then Genesis 1 verse 26. Let this hit you in your heart. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." There you have the Father. There you have the Son. There you have the Holy Spirit in council in heaven. Saying, let's all be involved in this special creation. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Did you get that? Let us make man in our likeness, in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, here it is, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Take it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to every thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Did you see that? It's marvelous that God made all of these things by just his words. But what is even more marvelous is that he made it all for me. All of these things were made for the crown of his creation to enjoy this life. Now, you've got a father that provided for you everything a father should provide. And if you didn't have a father on this earth that did that, you've got one in heaven. There's some pretty low-down fathers on this earth that don't provide for their own family. But you have a father who gave you everything you need physically. You have a father that says, son, I love you. And you have a father who has provided every physical thing that you need. So, he communicated with me, and I appreciate that. He's provided for me physically, and I appreciate that. But what about spiritually? We know where I'm going. I told you could figure this lesson out. I know God loves me because of the cross. I know God loves me because of the cross. Have you ever heard this verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever heard that one? God gave me his Son so that I don't have to perish. You know, you think about the cross. It's one of the cruelest devices of torture that's ever been invented. Not only was it intended to kill an individual, but it was intended to make it just as painful as it possibly could be while that person died. Talk about cruel and unusual punishment. The cross is cruel and unusual. Yet that's how our God allowed his Son to die. And what boggles my mind is that Jesus went there willingly. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, I pray. Nevertheless, what about it? Not my will, but yours be done. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Another common verse that we've probably read so many times. Philippians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, watch this, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I can tell my children how much I love them, and that may mean a lot unless I don't back it up with actions. After a while, the three words "I love you" mean nothing if the showing is not there. We have a Father who not only told us that he loves us, not only takes care of us physically, but he has shown us how much he loves us in the cross. What was the reason of the sacrifice? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. The price had to be paid. And so what did the Father do? He paid the price. So I know God loves me. Number one, because he told me so. Number two, because he provided for me physically everything I will ever, ever need. I can see his love in the creation everywhere I look. There's his love. And then I know my Father loves me because he provided for me spiritually. Because he gave me his Son. That's what God did for you. I'm going to tell you something, and I know you already know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You think about that every single day this week, and it will mean more to you by the time we meet together again next Lord's Day, Lord willing. God loves you. He's told you so. Because of this creation, you can see it, and because he provided for you spiritually in the cross. Now, what should that make you do? What should that implore you to do? You remember at the end of Peter's sermon, they were pricked in their heart. Some versions say they were cut to the heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" There's what it ought to do. Knowing the love of God, we should be compelled. Number one, Father, I love you too. And I'm going to show you how much I love you by responding to the love that you have shown me. You ever known a couple where one in the couple really tries to love the other and show love, but the other person doesn't respond? If that were you, if that were your spouse, or if that was your mother and father, and you tried to go up there and give them a hug, but they just stood there, didn't put their arms around you, you told them, "I love you," and they say, "Oh, okay," never responded, how would that make you feel? And then how do you think God feels when he tells you he loves you, provides everything you need, both physically and spiritually, and then you just sit there? God loves you. You have a Father who adores you. And we owe him everything that we have. Are you a Christian tonight? Why not? Why not? To know how much God loves you and not respond, why not? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe he died for you? Do you believe he was buried for you? Do you believe he was risen up on the third day according to the scriptures for you? Do you want to repent now? Those sins that put him there, you want to stop doing that? You want to turn away from a sinful life? Would you love to be able to stand and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the least I can do. And then will you be baptized and take advantage of the death of Christ, the blood that he shed, and allow that blood to wash your sins away? Will you do that? You can be a child of the Father of this universe tonight. Or maybe you need to repent and come home. Maybe you've not been living as you should. Maybe you want faithful Christians to pray with you and for you and ask God to forgive you. Let us do that. Won't you come while together we stand and sing this song?